now you don't. A flying arrow, an ebbing tide, are never safe. Let no man trust them. The next morning, as the legions broke camp, Gavin summed up the situation for his officers. We know they have ladies, maybe 500. The scouts saw a couple of hundred heavies before our lights broke off yesterday. Maybe 30 cats. If they had a lot of cats, Ivor and his boys would be pushing up grass. As it was, the damn ladies cost us 50 men, more horses. They might have had a lot of heavies waiting farther back, been baiting a trap. He turned to the scout commander. Last time you saw them, their main body was south and west of us. How far? About 5 miles at sunset. My boys get too close, cats drive them off. But at least they aren't coming this way. Gavin thought a moment. The castle we're here to take is south and east, in the hills, maybe 20 miles from here. One long day's march if we didn't have the damn wagons. Say 2 days. If we can get there before they do, if there isn't much of a garrison, we'll have to take it fast if their main army is loose behind us, no supplies from home. If they cut over to defend it, they can move faster than we can. It makes the castle harder to take, but then their field force is bottled up. We can take our time. Comments? Silence for a moment. The Valhani commander broke it. Leatherback's out ahead of us. We might lose a few scouts, but at least there won't be any surprises. Kira looked at Ivor in surprise, said nothing. Gavin nodded. Yes. An hour later, scouts at the top of the next ridge, legions beginning to move out, heavy cavalry flanking them, the commander and his second watching from below the abandoned camp. Looks like someone's got another magic trick. Kira looked at his commander curiously. Ever seen a cautious Valhani before? Kira thought a moment, shook his head. With 2 legions and the light infantry at the top of the next ridge, Gavin sent the wagons to join them, then the 3rd legion and the Valhani. He repeated the maneuver at the next ridge, heading south and east. By noon, the force had covered 3 miles. The next ridge was defended, abandoned as the legions approached. 3 days and 2 minor skirmishes later, the 6th Legion pitched camp in sight of Markholt. The next morning, Gavin called council. 6th, what did your boys see? A lot of horses ahead of us. Mud 30 yards wide. Their rear was still going into the castle when we made camp. Nothing but ladies, far as we could see. The track that cuts south 5 miles back might be the Carl Heavies. Hell of a lot of archers behind those walls. More mouths. We aren't the only ones short of supplies this time of year. With the order locked in the castle and the Carl Heavy south of us, the northern plain should be ours for a while. Siege. Legion engineers can go to work. There's lots of timber. Make life interesting for the Carls. Ivor caught his commander's eye. What do you want me and Bertrand and our boys to do while the turtles are sieging? Watch our back. I'm leaving 1 legion camped on the road in just to play safe. Bertrand's boys patrolling the plains 5 or 10 miles out to let us know if the Carls turn up with an army, threaten us or our supplies. Your boys are backup, in case it's a small army. If it's a big army, fall back on the legions. In a day or two, escort empty wagons home, full wagons back. 400 lights, 200 heavies should do it. By late afternoon, all 3 legions were dug in. The 6th west of the castle, the 7th northwest, the 10th blocking the road in. That left the south, under the looming shoulder of the mountain for the Bashkai. They were still making camp, setting up tents, starting cooking fires. How does anyone find anything? Gavin looked up and down the colorful chaos, slowly. Tent banners give rank, clan, look long enough. What if someone attacks them? Ant nest. But mostly they run forward, not back. Ever see a Bashkai without his weapons? In the bath? Ever see a Bashkai in a bath? Kira thought a moment, shook his head. What the hell? Gavin was pointing at an arrow quivering in the ground. Voices were yelling. Someone ran past. Someone else staggered, fell, clutching his belly, an arrow. Gavin reached down, grabbed the shield the Bashkai had dropped, looked around for the enemy. Behind him, Kira yelped. The feathered end of the arrow sticking out of his shoulder pointed up. Gavin looked up, around. Many of the Boshkai had shields raised, mostly against the castle. He saw one of them stagger, fall. That wasn't it, too far. He turned, looking up to where the lower slope of the mountain rose almost vertically from the edge of the camp, pointed, yelled. One of the Boshkai saw, called out something in his own language, raised his shield against the arrows sleeting down from above. Where the slope above flattened out, Gavin could see figures outlined in black against the eastern sky. Gavin recognized the banner on a tent. Arkhal, out here! Shield, get your damn people into cover in the woods! There was no answer. He stepped to the tent door, looked in. The blue carpet bristled with arrows. So did the man lying on it. Back to the trees! Back to the trees! Someone else had figured it out. Voices yelling in Boshkai, men pointing up at the mountain, more running for the shelter of the forest behind them. Most made it. Gavin's tent, a single lamp, outside dark. The commander, the legion commanders, the hetman of the Boshkai, a bloody bandage on his arm, a ferocious scowl. Gavin spoke first. Carl's got a hell of a lot of archers up on that hilltop, without us any the wiser. Any guesses how? He looked at the commander of the 6th. The officer thought a moment before responding. We saw them go into the castle last night before dark. They could have come back out again after. The castle wasn't surrounded. South along the bottom of the hill, into the forest somewhere up. Stay back out of sight. Gavin turned to the hetman, spoke slowly. Do you know how many men you lost yet? Too many. Morning, climb mountain, chop archer women, feed black birds. The tent door opened. Kiro came in, shoulder neatly bandaged, spoke. Might not be a bad idea, sir. I wouldn't fight Boshkai in the woods, not with a bow. Sitting by a fire less than a mile away as the crow flies, Carla expressed much the same opinion. If all my ladies could move like Kara and fight like you, what's left of the Boshkai would be a fair fight. I don't like fair fights. The first 3 Tataves are moving already. The rest follow. I'm leaving you 4 Octaves. Kill anyone, that's fine. But your job is to scare them. Make them move slow. Lose any of your ladies, very unhappy with you. Get yourself killed, very unhappy with Kara. Elena thought a moment. The last week on a smaller scale, where it's clear, ambush, one flight, run. And don't take chances. Think about fighting in the woods against 1,000 Karas. It's not like the legions. The next morning, the edge of the woods, watching the bare shoulder where they had spent a day and part of 2 nights. Noises the other side. Kara knocked an arrow. Elena lifted her whistle, waited. Out of the woods, a line of big shields. Elena blew, knocked, released. Kara's voice was urgent. It's legionaries. Boshkai, move faster. Out of here. Elena hesitated only a moment, lifted the whistle again. 2 short blasts, turned back towards the path. A nightmare face ahead of her, streaked red and yellow. She thrust left-handed at the face with her bow, snatched right for the dagger at her belt, stepped in. The Boshkai blocked the bow with the axe in his right hand, grunted. She stepped back. He threw. She knocked the axe aside with the bow, both hands over his belly, scarlet. He took a slow step forward, buckled. Run! She started forwards. Another, farther ahead. She threw the bow like a javelin, stepped sideways. He turned to block it, looked down in surprise at the feathers sprouting from his side. Her sword was out, struck, passed. Another, no space to let Kara shoot. The arm came down, the axe spun. Elena stepped forward into it, felt the shock of the haft on her left shoulder, struck with the sword. He stepped back clear of the blow, in, long knife in his left hand, right reaching for another axe. She thrust, felt the shock run up her arm, pulled the sword free. Run! She ran, found the path, along it, shouting behind. She yelled, Lena and Kara! Out of the woods, into the small clearing, through. At the far side, turned. Kara came out of the woods in a run, through the clearing. 2 Boshkai after her, arrows sleeted from the woods, they dropped, yells. Here! She turned. Kara handed her her bow. More Boshkai, more arrows. Elena put the whistle to her mouth, 2 short blasts, waited a moment to let the others get to the path. Kara loosed blind across the clearing into the woods. Elena imitated her. They turned, ran. 2 hours later, they came out of the tree line. On the slope above them, 30 or 40 ladies were sitting around fires cooking dinner. Elena spotted Carla at one fire and yelled, "Get out! They're coming!" "Shut up and have dinner, sister." Elena's mouth fell open. Kara caught her by the sleeve, spoke quietly. "Do what she says." 5 minutes later, as Elena was trying to choke down a bit of bread, the Boshkai burst out of the woods, charged uphill, yelling, "Down!" The ladies of the fire went to their faces. Elena heard the hiss of arrows over them. A lot of arrows. When she looked back, most of the Boshkai were down, the last few vanishing back into the woods. The slope uphill was alive with archers. Carla's voice. "The real camp, the horses, another mile. How many did you lose?" Elena glanced around where the ladies were standing up, dusting themselves off. She counted again. "Nobody. Congratulations. You get to do it again." A week after the attack on the Boshkai camp, Gavin was watching the trebuchets come into action. He liked trebuchets, counterweighted monsters throwing rocks a man could barely lift from safely out of arrow shot of the target. The Carls had smaller engines up on the walls, but rough log walls shielded his teams from most of what they could throw. He turned to Kiro. "They're slow. Building them is a pain, but they're safe, and with enough time and rocks, no wall can stand against them, including that one. Any word of the supply train yet?" "Any day now. What are we short of?" "Beer." 3 of the damn barrels had leaks. Kiro gave his commander a quizzical look. "Didn't say where the leaks came from." "Commander!" Gavin turned. It took him a moment to recognize the figure. "Where the hell have you been?" 4 days through the mountains with the Hetman and his people. 2 days more getting back. Didn't Hanno get here?" Gavin shook his head. "Damn. Fastest runner I had." "What did you lose? What did you kill? Where is the enemy?" "Didn't lose anyone, sir, saving Hanno if they got him. Couple of scratches. Hetman lost people. Didn't get any of the enemy that I know of, sir. They kept running." "Where are they?" "They came out of the woods 2 days north of here, sir. Last I saw of them, they had horses. We didn't." "Gods, where are the Boshkai? Chasing them over the plains?" "No, sir. Hetman doesn't like plains. Too easy to shoot people. Coming back through the woods along the base of the hills. Longer. Should be here soon." Gavin looked at Kiros, said the obvious. "Whole damn order between us and the bridge. Guess we do without fear for a while." The trebuchet's weight came down, the long arm up, the sling whipping above. 400 yards away, they heard the crack of the rock hitting the castle wall. Gavin went over to talk to the engineers. Enough time might be a problem. 15 miles north, Carla was arguing with two of her captains. "How do you propose we carry them, slung under the horses' bellies? Hide a few barrels in a gully. Send the rest with the wagons up into the hills. And spend the next week tied to your beer? No. Sisters can drink some now. Fill up water bottles for later. But the barrels go with the wagons. Mound for Rihanna. Mound for the 3 beggars that earned it. Horses, too, if there were time. I wouldn't have charged us. Rest of the bodies the Imperials can take care of when they find them. Wagons up to Stephen's people in the hills. Lyra on the litter. We've been here too long already." Kara, in the ring of ladies listening to the argument, said something to Elena. Elena spoke. "We could take 1 barrel in a litter. Dinner, breakfast tomorrow. Do it. The 2 of you, your idea. 1 barrel." A week later, Gavin called his officers to council. "The stone throwers are doing fine, but they aren't bringing down the wall today or tomorrow. If they did, better hope the Carls have lots of food, because we don't. 2 supply trains taken that we know of, and I'm not counting on a 3rd. Time to go home. Bring back all of the legions, most of the cavalry, some of the Boshkai, not what we hoped, but a hell of a lot better than last time. Comments?" Bertrand and I could take our boys north, bring the next supply train back with us. Might not be one. Might not get back. Carl's have had 3 weeks and more. Might be 6,000 or 7,000 heavies out there, 2,000 lights. Your boys are good, but I don't like those odds. He looked around. Nobody said anything. Break camp, move out, 3 hours. Engineers spend what time they have throwing lots of little stones over the wall. See if we can hurt someone. 10th and 6th lead with Boshkai. 7th guards the rear. Archers, wagons, wounded in between. Leatherbacks scout all directions, including behind us once we're clear of the woods. Rest of the cavalry on both sides. Both of you remember they have more cavalry than we do, so don't chase. Bertrand, a report from your scouts before we move. 3 hours later, the 6th Legion formed up beside the 7th, outside the latter's camp. Trumpets blew, drums beat. The army was going home. A day and a half later, 40 miles north, 60 feet higher, Marcus was staring south across the river when he heard boots coming up the narrow ladder. Consider yourself relieved. Anything out there? 73,597,417 blades of grass. 133 anthills. 20 poor bastards under cover at the far end of the bridge. 6 leatherbacks watering their horses at the river and thinking up excuses for not scouting. From what I've heard the last few days, can't say I blame them. No armies, ours or theirs. What's raising dust at the top of the ridge? Don't know. Maybe one of the scouts is scouting. The two men crowded into the top of the fort's single observation tower and watched. It's a wagon, coming fast, like someone's chasing it. Marcus lifted the horn to his lips, sounded the alarm. The single wagon was coming down the slope towards the bridge. On the ridge above, one of the escorting leatherbacks clutched at something, fell off his horse. The rest of the troop followed the wagon down. Now the ridge was black with riders. More of the leatherbacks were falling. The wagon rumbled onto the bridge, stopped. The guards at the south end were behind their earthworks, crossbows ready. On the ridge, riders had been replaced by figures on foot. It was too far to see arrows, but Marcus had no doubt why the guards were undercover. The Carl archers had demonstrated before their ability to reach the south end of the bridgehead from the nearest point of the ridge. He looked down at the wagon. The driver was gone. A head bobbed in the river. Marcus hoped the man could swim. The leatherbacks were all down, their bodies spotting the slope. Below him, archers lined the fort's wall. What the hell? Look at that. Damn wagon's burning. The plume of smoke rose into the air. In the fading daylight, Marcus thought he could even see a tongue of flame. In the fort below, men were yelling. The gate opened. A couple of legionaries with buckets ran for the bridge. Neither of them made it across. In front of the gate, a group formed up. 8 men with shields, a turtle formation, 4 wide and 2 deep. Behind them, 4 with buckets, and moved onto the bridge into the rain of arrows. Smoke from the burning wagon and the planks under it blew back up the slope where the dead leatherbacks were coming to life, running for the ridge. By full dark, they had the fire out. The order archers, with nothing to aim at, stopped shooting. Hard to say how much damage till morning, sir. Maybe 8-10 feet of planking gone? Whatever was in that wagon burned fierce. The garrison commander thought a moment before putting the next question. What about the beams? Harder to replace. Doubt the fire got that far. We'll have to send a boat in the morning to check from underneath. Anyone know how much spare planking we have? An officer with a gray beard spoke from the back of the room. Not much. Send a messenger to the prince's man in that village up north. Get people to work. The Carls may have more tricks. A couple of spare beams would be nice, too. By the look of that wagon, the size of that army, I don't think Davin's been getting his beams and beer lately. Might be coming home in a hurry. He looked around the room. The officers were silent. 2 jobs. Patch that bridge, protect it. Against 5 or 10 times our number of Carls. How? There was a brief pause. The commander of the garrison's archer company broke it. From the walls, my men can reach almost halfway to the ridge. The engine's a little farther. We have 100 archers, a dozen engines. If the Carls try to storm the bridge, take it apart, use it for firewood, we can make things pretty unhealthy for them. The gray-bearded officer spoke from the back. They might be willing to give up a little of their beauty sleep. How do you hit them in the dark? Half moon tonight, waxing. The commander shook his head. We can't count on the moon. All it takes is one cloudy night. Besides, they could wait until it was down. Get the engine sighted in now. Spear throwers at the far end of the bridge. Stone throwers a little farther. No point smashing the bridge ourselves. Stack a couple of big piles of straw south of the bridgehead. If the troops on the far side can't fire them, you can use fire arrows. Enough light to shoot in an army. The older officer spoke again. When we repair the end of the bridge, leave planks loose, tie them in place. Take them up at night. 8-foot gap. If they get to the end of the bridge, all they can hack up will be the ends of the beams. If it's dark, some of them might find out the hard way. The commander looked around. One of the legionary officers spoke. We have 20 men on the far side of the bridge. Dangerous, but useful. Have them build up the earthworks in front. Behind, too. If Belio's boys are shooting blind. Messenger north tomorrow morning. Boat under the bridge to check the damage. Belio sees to getting the engine sighted in. When he's done, we send out Tortoise's engineers to start fixing the damaged bit. If there aren't enough planks to do all of it, half width. Space out planks if we have to. Once that's done, send loads of straw across for bonfires. Orders to the troops the other side to build up earthworks in front behind, best they can manage. They may need them. See to tying shields to one of the boats so we can get people across that way if we can't use the bridge. Word up and down the river to send more boats, just in case. What have I forgotten? The answer was drifting downstream through the night. Eagle put his question in whisper. How do you stop one of these things? Pole? Anchor? Run into a bridge? By poles a quarter mile upstream. Had to let go, I'd be there too. Happened to see His Excellency Lord Stephen again. Tell him to send 2 men next time. You said you knew how to swim. Held on to the damn pole, I'd have proved it. Doesn't mean I can steer a raft. Don't worry. A bridge is hard to miss. He was right. An hour later, the garrison commander woke up to horns, someone pounding on his door. Are they attacking? The bridge is burning. From the ramparts, he could see the whole scene. The middle section of the bridge was a mass of flames. Men were running out the gate, shields up, buckets instead of swords. One of them was down. An arrow struck the rampart. That wasn't from the ridge. They've come downhill in the dark. Damn little we can do about it. He yelled down. Gate is in range of their archers. Shields up when you come out. He turned to the officer next to him. Time to rewrite my dispatches. We're going to need a lot more planks. Damn. Kiro turned in the saddle to look at his commander. The bridge, its center a scorched ruin, was not what they had been hoping to see over the final ridge. 4 days of half rations. Harassment by archers, the continual threat of thousands of heavy cavalry, and now this. Gavin sat his horse for a few minutes, looking down at the bridge, the river, the fort on the other side, then turned to his second. The legions on the ridge, full field fortifications. Cavalry, Boshkai on the flat by the river. Archers in the legion camp. At least the terrain is on our side, not counting that damn river. I'm going down there to talk to the idiots responsible. Tell Ivor to give me a squad for escort. A banner, too. I'd rather not be shot by my own people. Suggestions? If they can't patch the bridge, can we ford it? What everyone did before. Not this time of year, they didn't. Look how high the river is. We might swim it with ropes to help, but we'll lose people, horses. Not to mention leaving most of our gear behind. We might get across on boats. 8,000 men, 3,000 horses, hell of a lot of boats. And the Carls won't be sitting on their hands. not so bad if we weren't short of food. The first good news was that the men guarding the bridge didn't shoot him. The second was a boat. On the far side, the garrison commander was waiting. "My boys are hungry. What do you have, and how do we get it to them?" "We've been accumulating supplies, waiting for more wagons, 7 or 8 loads. The boat you came in, one more, are all we have. I sent riders upstream, downstream, but no more boats so far. The bridge needs one section of long beams, a lot of planks. I sent a rider to the prince's town up north, no word back." "Two boats aren't much, but better than nothing. Supplies over, wounded back. Start with a couple of barrels of beer." "How long ago did you send the rider?"
2 days.
"Should have been back today at the latest." "Send again. With an escort. This isn't the only ford." "The same thing, up and down river for boats. Let me get a look at the bridge." 2 miles south, Carla rode into the royal camp, ignored a dozen banners, found the pennon she was looking for. As she dismounted, her mother came out of one of the larger tents. Carla turned to her. 3 killed, 24 injured, 4 badly. "Supplies?" 5 days for the ladies. Resupply courtesy of our friends. Even brought us beer. Horses have grain for 2 days. We're grazing them now." "And I already have your estimate of their losses. Doubt your father could have done better." That silenced Carla. Her sister's arrival provided a change of subject. "Couldn't have done it without Abel. Kara, too. Lena took half a tate, brought them all back. She'll do. If she doesn't get herself killed first." "Mother, I didn't even get wounded." "Better than last time. Learn to be careful. You're good, but I've buried better. Don't have a lot of daughters. Counsel in the tent yonder." Before following her, Carla turned to Elena. "Get father talking sometime. His trip this side the mountains during the troubles." "Berktora told me the part she saw when the wolves almost killed him. Said she had never seen anyone fight like that. When things go wrong, mostly he makes sure they don't. That's the part you need to learn." The next afternoon, yell, men pointing south. Down the slope, a line of wagons, heavy cavalry's escort. Elena recognized the banner, turned to Carla. "What's Stephen bringing?" "Something someone left behind." 3 of the wagons stopped in the camp to unload supplies. The rest continued over the ridge, down the other side, up. They came to a stop just below the top of the ridge that separated the camps of the two armies. The riders dismounted, started unloading. 2 hours later, the pile of lumber was gone. Where it had been stood 2 trebuchets, just downhill from the archers on the ridge. Elena turned to her sister. "Monsters! Where did Stephen get siege engines?" "From a siege. Small engines get disassembled for the parts. Trebuchets are mostly wood, heavy to carry. They didn't get around to burning all of it." The engines assembled, Carla rode over to talk to Stephen. "Brother says you damn near got him drowned." Stephen looked up. "Did it work?" "Whole middle section out. And Eagle got it there. Don't see what you're complaining about." The next morning, Gavin woke to voices near the tent. When he came out, Kiro and a cluster of legionaries were staring at the opposite ridge. "Archers still there?" "Yes. Something new. At the west end, look." The flagpole was almost a mile west of the enemy position. As Gavin watched, a flag ran up and blew out in the wind, red. It dipped, came up again, down. A minute later, it was followed by a pale blue flag. That one dipped twice, then red again. "Who the hell are they signaling to?" 10 minutes later, the pattern was clear. 2 different flags, varying numbers of dips once the flag was up. Gavin shook his head, looked up and down the enemy position. Nothing. Hoofbeats. It was Ivor. "Splashes in the river. I think they're throwing at the bridge. Don't know where the engines are, how they're aiming them." Gavin watched the flagpole a moment longer, turned, stood watching the river. A minute later, he saw the splash a little upstream from the bridge. A minute later, another downstream. He turned back to his officers. They must have trebuchets just the other side of the ridge. Any farther, they'd be out of range. Someone in cover farther west on this ridge, beyond our lines. He signals where the splash is. Flags relay. Get Bertrand, the hetman. Tell the Legion commanders to start their men forming up. Then come here. The three Legion commanders showed up first. There are trebuchets just the other side of that ridge, trying to smash the bridge we plan to go home on. You're going to take them. Carls aren't fools. They have to know we're coming. Might be 6,000 or 7,000 heavies waiting for us. Do it by the book. Lights to guard the flanks. Get close to the ridge. Long spears down. He turned to Ivor. The Carls have someone watching the fall of the rocks, signaling. Has to be on this ridge to see the river. The flagpole on the next ridge relays. Take 500 heavies in case of trouble. Down the ridge. Catch the observer if you can. Take out the flagpole. Circle back. Maybe block their retreat if we break them. My guess is their army is south of here, waiting for us to come after the trebuchets, but be careful. The rest of your boys, Bertrand, can make sure Carls don't get anyone behind us. Archers on the ridge till we need them somewhere. Imperial discipline brought order fast. Three legions formed, down and south towards the next ridge, its archers, the hidden engines. Ivor's column went west at a gallop. The rest of the cavalry, heavy and light, formed up in two bodies, one west of the camp with its right flank on the river, one east with its left flank on the river, the supply wagons and the bridgehead protected between them. One of Ivor's men yelled, pointed. A figure had broken from cover, was running down the slope towards the flagpole on the next ridge, the men around it. Ivor slanted left, led his column down the slope, up. 500 heavies against 4 carls, 5 counting the runner, and a flagpole. It looked to be a one-sided battle. A mile east, the legions were moving up the slope. Gavin, his horse abandoned as too good a target, was with them. The rain of arrows from the ridge slowed, stopped. The legions broke into a trot, long spears coming down as they reached the ridge came over it. Below them, the trebuchets abandoned, a mass of mounted archers, Gavin guessed 1,000 or more, fleeing south. Something odd about the engines. One of the horses was dragging something, a long pole, a throwing arm. The legions came over the ridge down. Men swarmed around the trebuchets, taking them apart under the orders of the legion engineers, loading the pieces on men's backs. Some way to replace the missing arms. Over the ridge behind them, a rider yelling, face and leather armor splashed with blood. Carl heavies, behind us, thousands! Gavin shouted orders. The legions reversed in place, started back up the ridge, reached it. The next ridge, where the legions had been camped, was spotted with bodies. The space between the two ridges, a confusion of mounted men and archers fleeing south towards the legions. Gavin saw a runner stumble and fall. One of the Dalkani angled across up to where Gavin was standing by his banners. His lance was gone, shield broken. Where is Ivor? Gods, no! Behind the ridge, thousands of them! We were coming up the slope. The man turned, pointed, smashed us, came along the ridge, smashed the archers. Their archers up there now. What happened on the other side of the ridge? The man shrugged, wasn't looking that way. More orders. The legions moved north, up to the final ridge, broken troops rallying behind them. Beyond was the slope, the river, the space between, scattered with the bodies of men and horses. Gavin thought he could see heads in the water, horses too. At the bridgehead, a knot of men in the water, some swinging axes, some with shields raised against archers on the fortress wall. Gavin turned, spotted the hetman, yelled, pointed. The Boshkai streamed down the slope. From the west along the river, a rider, low to the horse's back, more horses behind. The men at the bridgehead mounted, rode east. As Gavin watched, the south end of the bridge, cut from its anchors to the shore, swung in the current, broke free. Gavin took a long breath, looked around. His legions, at least, were still safe. The Boshkai, some archers, some cavalry had rallied to the legions. Some, no doubt, had made it across the river. Defeat, not catastrophe. In the long run, it was the legions that mattered. He looked again. Between him and the river, where the wagons of supplies had stood, the slope was empty.